Well, I appreciated that special song tonight. Heard Brother Bob say one time, special songs sometimes make for special services. Felt like I needed that special song tonight. Have you ever been in a place where you weren't sure how to get where you were going, or maybe you were fearful about how things were going to turn out? Maybe you were in an uncertain place and somebody of authority came by and said, come follow me. I'll get you where you need to go. I was thinking about that song that we heard tonight and how that the Lord, He comes by and He says, I have you covered. Follow me. I'll get you where you need to go. I'll make sure that there's nothing that gets in your way but that you can't handle with my strength. And I'll get you there. Just follow me. Can you think of any better person, God, to follow than our Lord, who gave so much that we might make it to heaven? He paid the price for our souls. And then He comes back with such a vested interest in us making it in. It's not like we're having to try to pay the price and earn our way in, because we can't. He paid an awful price for your salvation. He wants you to make it in. He wants to take care of you and give you the help and pick you up when you fall, because He paid such a great price. That's the God I serve tonight. I appreciate the Lord tonight. I appreciate that song. I'd like to start tonight in the 4th chapter of Matthew, in the 18th verse. Matthew 4 and 18. It said, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. Now I'd like to turn to Mark, and we'll pick up his call of Matthew. Mark 2 and 14, we'll read one verse. It said, and as he passed by, he saw Levi the son of Alphaeus sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and he followed him. Now I'm thinking tonight how blessed of people we are tonight, because the Lord has passed by all of us just like He did Peter and Andrew and James and John. He has passed by me at my own receipt of custom. He passed by me mending my nets, trying to put together my life, and He came by and He called my name. And He's come by and He has called your name. And He has given you the invitation to come follow me. When the Lord says come, I want to come. When the Lord says follow me, I want to follow Him. When the Lord says, here, eat of this, drink of this, I want to eat of it. I want to drink of it. I want to be there to hear that. And I'm so thankful that the Lord wants me to be there to hear that too. And sometimes we fall and we stumble and we get out of range. Sometimes not just trying to. Sometimes we do, you know, through negligence. And the Lord's so faithful to come back and say, hey Rod, will you come follow me? I see you're back here. Will you get up and come? I still want you. I want you part of my people. I paid the price to forgive your sin. Will you come and follow me? I want to say, yes, Lord. I'm sorry for where I am. I want to follow you. I'm willing to come. I'm willing to follow. I want to follow the Lord all the way over into glory. I have that desire tonight. More than anything else, I don't want to let anything get in between it. I think about these disciples. Do you think any of them have any regrets tonight? Do you think Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew, do you think any of them are sitting up there in heaven thinking, wow, we sure should have kept on fishing. Or we should have sure kept on fixing them nets that day. Why did we follow the Lord that day? You think Matthew's saying, man, I could have made an awful lot of money at that receipt of custom. I should have just stuck it out right there. Do you think any of them are saying that? Do you think that any of us, if we're faithful to follow the Lord, do you think any of us will get over to the other side and say, boy, I sure wish I would have tried to cut it a little bit closer to the world. I sure feel like I might have given a little too much up. Do you? We say no, and then so often, that's what we do. We see how close the enemy's always there to see if he can get us to see if we can just cut it close, knowing full well that if he can get us to do that, he'll rob us of our peace, rob us of victory that the Lord has for us. Even if he can't get us to backslide, he's always there causing us to stumble and worrying about this and how did this happen and oh my goodness, where's the Lord? And let's just follow him. Let's make a clean break tonight. Let's be willing to follow. I noticed that when he called them away from things, and I've preached this before, but he called them away from things that were important to them. He called them away from their security. That's what they were comfortable with, were nets. The net felt, it was a known quantity in their hand. It felt comfortable. It felt right. The move of the ship in the water, it felt natural. It was them. That's where their sense of security was. And the Lord called them away and they left it. They left it. There was some sacrifice. He went by Matthew. He said, Matthew, come follow me. Matthew got up from his little seat, his little area of security. It was a receipt of custom where he was receiving things into himself. Oh, some of it went to other places, the Romans. But it was where he knew he could pad his own pocket. That was his little place. The Lord called him to now give out to the world. And you know the thing about the Lord is he works so differently than the rest of this world thinks. He comes and asks us to give all to him. And about the time we hand him over our bag of pennies that we were holding on so tight and we just can't hardly let go, like, okay, Lord, I give it all up. About the time we turn away and say, I gave it all up, Lord, I'm going to follow you, he smiles at us and hands us a bag of silver dollars. So I didn't know I was coming, but that's the Lord. He says, die out to yourself. Be willing, accept a grain of seed, fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The world, they get stuck on the dying part. Yeah. We saints know something about the alive part. Sure. And the Lord says, you want something more than you have? Die out to yourself. Is there sacrifice? Yes, there's sacrifice. There's sacrifice in the dying out of the seed. But look what happens. Is there anybody here that would protect the seed of a flower diligently and guard it? Don't nobody touch that. Don't put that in the ground. Don't mess with that. That's it. Can't. Put it in the ground and let it grow into something more beautiful. Take a grain of corn. What do we do with it? We put it in the ground so that it can bring forth more. And the Lord tonight, wherever you are, the enemy likes to make you think you're in a unique situation. Say, well, preacher, that sounds pretty good, but it doesn't work for me. Really? Have you ever tried it? You know, people who say, well, it's a good message, but you know, it might work for everybody else, but it just doesn't work for me. I've tried it, and it doesn't work. And I look at the people who make a try at it and say, well, it just didn't work out. And I'm like, you didn't give him a chance. You didn't do what he said. He said you have to let go. And so people hold on to their nets that are tied into their boats, and the boats are in the water, stuck on a reef, and the Lord says, come follow me, and they hold on to their nets and they try to follow him. And then they say, well, it's not working, Lord. He said, well, of course it's not working. Let go. And we do that. We try to hold on to everything we can hold on to. And the Lord tonight is coming by and he's saying, come, follow me. I have something wonderful for you. I don't want to pass it up. Many are letting it go for a bowl of beans. You remember, was it what, Jacob and Esau? Yeah. For a bowl of beans he gave his birthright away. And we are willing to sell our souls. I'm speaking world generally. People are willing to sell their soul for a bowl of beans. You look at it and say, well, why would you do that? Well, I was really hungry yesterday. But it's your soul. It's eternity. It's forever. Why is a bowl of beans that important? But people are doing it. For the smallest of things. And you know what the reality is? Is that many times the very things that people are trying to hang on to, if they would just let go of it. The Lord many times is just asking us to let go of it so He can make it better, so He can give it back to us in a better place than we were before. But He asks us to have some faith. I want to know where your heart is. Will you come and follow me? And the multitudes today are coming up with all kinds of reasons, good reasons. The Lord gave me a message one time. I think I titled it, Doing Wrong for All the Right Reasons. Seems like the enemy can give us all the right reasons for doing wrong. But in the end, it's still wrong. In the end, we're still the losers. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're not where you should be with the Lord, I want to tell you, you're losing out. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care where you are. The Lord came to bind up those that have broken hearts, that are bruised, to loose those that are in captivity. People say, well, my window of opportunity's passed. I blew it. No, you didn't. They thought Lazarus was passed too. What was that song that says he was 4 days late, but right on time? Yeah. You're not too late. God has the answer. Maybe you're here and you're saved tonight, but you go through life with just discouragement. And you just, the enemy just depresses you, and it just seems like you can't ever get over it. Let go of it. You say, well, that's easy to say. Give it to God. Trust Him with it. Sometimes you can't just do it overnight. But work at it. Apply your mind to it. Apply your energy to it. Because the Lord is passing by and He is calling your name. He's calling you. You hear me? He's not just calling, well, the West Virginia congregation. And you go, well, that's the West Virginia congregation. But then there's me. I've got my seat. But the Lord doesn't really. The Lord knows who you are. And He died for you. And He loves you. And He's coming by. And He is saying, come, follow me. You know what happens when you hook up with the Lord? It's kind of like the little guy that always hangs around the big guy. Nobody messes with him. Because if you mess with the little guy, you got to mess with the big guy. And when we're tied with the Lord, we get to enjoy the all-powerful grace of God that He has to give. His mercy, because we need it. How would you like to be lost with no mercy? How would you like to fail and not know a God of mercy? That's who I want to follow. I'm human. I'm needy. I want God. I need God. And thank the Lord He passed by my way. And He said, Rod, you can come follow me. Lord, are you sure? I'm human. I'm weak. Sometimes I find people, they feel like they have to somehow get saved before they get saved. Well, I have some things in my life that I need to take care of before I get saved. That's what getting saved is all about. It's being forgiven and getting the power and the grace to overcome it. That's a trick of the enemy to say, well, I need to improve my life first. That's the business the Lord's in. And He's coming to call your name just like you are. I don't want to be like those who went the other way. I want to read about those. Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. It said, "Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." And that's my message tonight. Come, for all things. Sister Laverne used to say A-double-L-all. I remember that clearly. All things are now ready. And they all, listen, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, "I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused." And another said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray have me excused." And another said, "I've married a wife and therefore I can't come." And so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the..." I love this verse. "Bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind." Hey, I can be included in that. I can be in that number. Maybe missed the first cut, but I made the second one. "Bring in those that have great need." Do you have great need tonight? The Lord's calling your name. Your number's up. That's me. He said, "Call them. Tell them to come in." And the servant said, "Lord, it's done as thou commanded, and there's still room. Well, if I didn't make the second cut, maybe I'll make the third." And he said, "Go into the highways and the hedges. Just find whoever's out there and bid him to come in." There's nobody excluded. Saints, the gospel message is a message of hope. Sure. No one's ever excluded. It doesn't matter. People say, "Well, I was saved, but I went back, and then I've gotten this hole, and I've had my chance." No, you haven't had your chance. It's not over with yet. The Lord is still out asking you, "Would you come back in here? I got a chair with your name on it, and it's empty, and I'd kind of like it to be filled because I paid a really heavy price for you. I would just as soon not lose you. I don't want to have the end of time come and not have you there because I paid a pretty heavy price for you. Got a chair with your name on it at the table. Really don't want you to stay outside." There's hope for all of us, regardless of the condition you're in. Come, all things are now ready. And it said, "And the Lord said to his servant, Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them." Don't just say, "Well, I'll tell you what, he's going to let you in this time. But you better be on your best behavior and you better clean yourself up." This is a special invitation and there's going to be some other guests there that are a little better than you. But we'll let you in this time. That's not what he said. He said, "Go out and compel them." No, come. Please come. Just like you are. Because everything that you need, all things, they've already been prepared. "Oh, but I need to go get this, or I need to make this right, or I need to..." No, you just come with a willing heart. And you just come sit at the table that the Lord has prepared. And he said, "For I say unto you..." Well, because he wanted his house filled. That's what he said. "Compel them into my house that it may be filled." That's his desire. His desire is that his house would be filled with you. That's right. We always think, well, the saints, everybody else. The saints are made up of individuals. That's who the saint, that innumerable company in Revelations that it spoke of. It's made up of individuals. Individuals that were in the highways, in the hedges, in the bushes, in the maim, and the blind, and the halt. The Lord's not concerned about that as long as you're willing. He has power over the blind. He has power over the maim. He can raise those that are down. He can give sight to the blind. He can take whatever problem you have and fix it. He's in the fixing business. He's in the fixing business. He's in the creating business. He's in I can give you a new heart business. He's in I can change your perspective business. He's in the business of providing solutions that you never considered. He just wants you to come. He didn't say come with your blueprint and all your solutions. He just said come. That's all. Come. It's simple. Wasn't it Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Could have said those that think they're wise, those that think they're prudent. And he said, but you've revealed it unto babes, unto the simple, a wayfaring man, though a fool shall not enter therein. Just come. He says, come. Well, then that I'm not going to try to read any more into it. I'm just going to come. It's a message of hope for us this morning, tonight. Be encouraged with it. It's to you. It's to me. Well, I've been discouraged for a long time. There's no way out of it. Well, get out of the hedge and go sit at the table. I don't want to be like the ones that he came to first. You see, that really concerns me, what happened at the beginning of this. Because when you look at it, the reasons that they gave not to come in, did you notice that it didn't say, one said, I'm getting ready to go steal something and I really can't make it right now. We've got a thing going down tonight. Look, I've got a relationship that's inappropriate, Lord, and I've got to go deal with that. So just, please go find somebody else. I'm getting ready to go take somebody's life tonight. That's not what it said. I mean, we could even bring it down closer. Could have said, I've got pride in my heart and I don't want to let it go. I have unforgiveness in my heart and I don't want to let it go. That's not what it said. He said some pretty common things. One of them said, this struck me too. Have you ever gone down the street sidewalk before and somebody says, hey, would you like to buy this? And you just kind of, nope, not interested, and you just keep on walking. Or someone says, hey, do you have... People are really good at just brushing people off. Go to Atlanta, I go there quite a bit. People all up and down the streets. But did you notice how they responded to him? They must have recognized something about the invitation that was, I don't know, special, something different. They didn't brush him off. They called him Lord. And they asked him, what did they say? They said... Didn't it say they, with all one consent, they made excuse and they entreated him. Where was it?
The 18th verse says, I pray thee, have me excused.
Yeah, I pray thee, have me excused. Now he's praying to him. Have me excused. Will you let me off? Will you understand? I mean, Lord, I married a wife. Well, what's wrong with bringing the wife? I started thinking about some of these things. Well, I bought a piece of land. Well, does anybody here not live on a piece of land? I mean, a lot of us here are married. A lot of us here have a piece of land. Now, I don't have any oxen. Maybe somebody has oxen. The point is, these are some pretty common things. And yet there was something about it that got in between them and coming and sitting at the table. And I wonder if the problem was, I wonder if the wife didn't want to come to the table. I wonder if that was a problem. I thought about that. And I'll just say this quickly, young people. Be careful who you marry. You know, there are some things in life. You know, the old adage that says, well, it's easier to, ask forgiveness than ask for permission. And then you just figure you can kind of make it up after you get it done. And then you kind of got what you want. And then you try to pick the pieces up later. And there are some things in life where it doesn't work quite like that. You get out of the order of the Lord and you go marry the wrong person, and that stays with you for life. And it complicates life. And the Lord says, come sit at the table, and you go, oh, I got my wife, and I know she's not going to want to come, and I'm going to have to deal with her, or my husband. Lord, I'd like to come. My husband doesn't want to. And then there you go. And then it follows you. Or we can buy land or houses or careers or all of these things that are normal, and we can allow them to get between us and coming and sitting at the table. And the Lord said they wouldn't eat at His table. And I wonder sometimes if we think that we can give the Lord a reason, as if He's going to understand. Lord, I really like to be at church Sunday. I know church is on Sunday, but I've got these other things, Lord, and You know my heart. Lord, would You just go with me? Listen, the Lord brought this to me. He didn't say, come and dine, and it's carry out. It's not take out. This is dine in. This is dine in. The Lord's not into the carry out. He's not into fast food. He's not into come by the window and just pick and choose whatever you want, and come by and grab what you want and head down the road and continue to do the things that are non-sinful, and then you can kind of just take the blessings, just, you know, hook the blessings of the Lord wagon to the back of your truck, and wherever you go, whenever you need a blessing, you just reach back there and unwrap the package in there. It doesn't work that way. This is dine in. The Lord says you have to be willing to leave it. You have to be willing to leave your nets, leave your ship, get out of your little box where your security is. Now, a lot of times He gives it back to us. I find that. Sometimes you give to the Lord and He gives lots of it right back to you. Keeps the things that are not good for us. But He wants us to be willing to lay it on the altar. Lord, this is my life. Do with it what You want. Lord, I want to please You. Lord, I don't want to make a decision. Brother Adriel Bowman gave me some real good counsel. He was kind of a mentor to me when I was a teenager. And he told me one time, he said, you be careful. He said, one of these days in life, you'll get the call. And the call is the big promotion. Not the little thing, but the big one. But the problem with it, he said, is going to be it's going to take you away from where you can be in service. And he looked at me and he said, don't do it. Don't do it. In other words, keep your priorities straight. Be careful. Make sure that you don't let non-sinful things of life get in between you and the Lord. The Lord says, come dine, come sit down. And we are in an age where we don't want to come, we want to go. and we want to go and go and go. And then we say, well, I don't have time, Lord. I've got my job and I've got my family and I've got to go here and I've got to go there and got to get on Facebook tonight and I got to get on my cell phone later and I've got to, Lord, I'm a busy person. Lord, would You just go with me wherever? Sometimes the Lord just says, it's as simple, come. Just let go of it. That's why He said in 2 Timothy 2 and 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself. He didn't say that if we were going to strive to be a Christian, that we weren't going to have life to deal with. And that we weren't going to have jobs and we weren't going to have wives. I'm glad He didn't outlaw those. I'd be in a bad shape tonight. That's not what His point was. His point was, make sure that you put me first. Make sure that when all is said and done, you put me first. And I'm not saying the things that I just mentioned are sinful. We do many things. There's some entertainment. It's the Lord, I think, created lots of things for us to enjoy in life. It's just remember, put it in perspective. Don't let it get ahead of your time with the Lord. You know, in families these days, I heard a commercial one time. I was driving down the road, and you may have heard this, but the first time I heard it, I started listening. It said the recipe for having drug-free kids, I think is what it was. And it says, take, you know, a pound of hamburger, mix it up with so much ketchup, put this much salt in it. And I'm thinking, oh, what kind of commercial is this? And I got done describing this thing, put it in the oven at 350, leave it in there for so many minutes, take it out, and there was this pause. And he said, it's called family dinner. And then you talk about the statistics of the difference in families and how what children get into that don't have a structured family dinner. Do we have family worship? Do we take the time to come sit at the table of the Lord and sit as a family in the evening and make it a priority to have family worship? We need to. It's important. When we start saying, well, you know, we're just all so busy, everybody's busy. Everybody's got things to do. Everybody, you don't have any, nobody has a corner on having more things to do than what you can fill in a 24-hour day. All right? We're all there. We have to decide what's a priority. And these people told the Lord, Lord, it's my wife. Put you under, Lord, please. Please, you understand. It's a piece of ground. I bought these oxen. They're hungry. I got to water them. Well, figure out how to water them and come to the dinner. Figure out how to have a wife and come sit down. We can figure out how to carve out time for the Lord. We carve out time, all kinds of time, for all sorts of things. All the time. Discretionary things. And yet we have such a hard time getting everybody together for family worship. Seems like sometimes when it's Wednesday night or Sunday morning or it's service time, everybody's got, well, I'd be there, but, and yet all through the week they're doing this and that and the other, and you think, what's wrong? I'm preaching close because it's important. Our lives are at stake. And you're missing out. If you're not putting the Lord first, if you're not coming, you're missing out on the all part. The Lord has all things prepared. And it's ready now. It's hot. It's on the table. It's ready to eat. Our responsibility is to come. That's what He wants us to do. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to come. He said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isn't this a beautiful verse? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. And you read that and you think, wow, I would love to have my sins. You know, I mean, they're red like crimson and they can be turned like white as snow and wool. Yes, all you have to do is come and be willing and obedient. But you have to come. People would like to go wherever they want, live however they want, do whatever they want, and then expect the Lord to just run along behind them and be there at their beck and call like He's their servant. You know, like you ring the bell and, Lord, I'm ready. It doesn't work that way. He's God. He's going to be our judge. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I'll give you rest. Are you tired? Do you have burdens that you'd like to unload? Just have to come. Just come. The Lord wants us to be willing tonight to come. Do we have a sense of urgency? That's been our burden in the meeting. That we would have a sense of urgency about our souls. Do we have a sense of urgency in coming? Or are we still in that place where, well, Lord, I'm planning on coming. In fact, Lord, I might be a little late tonight. I've got to go do some other things, but I'll tell you what, if you have this dinner tomorrow, I'm sure enough going to try to be there. Lord said, He said, they won't eat at my table. He says, I tell you, they're not going to eat at my table. And this challenges me and it gives me caution because He used this parable and gave us examples of non-sinful sort of things. And we can allow non-sinful sort of things keep us from sitting at the table. And we don't have to do that. I want you to be encouraged tonight that the Lord has prepared all things. If you're afraid that you're going to miss out because if you come to the table, you have to leave that, remember, He said, no, I have all things prepared. It's all there for you. You just need to come. Tonight, let's be encouraged to come. Let's be encouraged to let go of the weight that does so easily beset us. You know, sometimes it's not just one weight that gets us down all by itself, but sometimes it's accumulation of things. And sometimes we allow ourselves to be distracted from coming to the Lord from all these things. And He's saying, hey, let me make it real simple. Leave your nets, leave your receipt of exchange, come and follow me, and I'll take care of all the rest. He has everything for us. Let's be encouraged tonight that the Lord has a seat with our name stenciled into it. Your first, middle, and last name. And regardless of where we've been, He has a seat and He's inviting us to come. Let's come, for all things are now ready. Amen.